Today on Real Life Radio.
Children today are going to school and coming home 8 hours later, confused about their gender. Failing math, failing history, failing chemistry, failing everything except sexuality. Our system has failed us.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in the Why series with a message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to universal questions we all face in life. And when it comes to sex and our sexuality, God takes this issue very seriously. The Bible is very clear about our gender identity, and to disagree with the Lord in this area is to reject His divine authority. By design, God's plan and purpose for our lives was lovingly put into place before we were ever born. Why, then, is there so much confusion regarding our identity? So, continuing in this message today, Pastor Jack goes on to say that there is an agenda out there to deceive and destroy all that the Bible says is good, an attempt to normalize lifestyles that go against God's plan for our lives. It's a tempting path to follow for some, but did you know that it leads to a higher rate of anxiety, depression, and even suicide? And now in his message called, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
You would have to agree with this tonight if you've disagreed with everything I've said thus far, is that there is an agenda to attack what is known as traditional or natural relationship or natural or biblical or scientific gender identity. All of a sudden, everyone's an expert, and every man is doing or deciding what is right in their own eyes because everyone's feelings is supreme. Historically, do not believe a word I'm going to tell you right here, right now. Historically, when that happens, the next step is anarchy. Did you know that? Why? So how can that happen? Because when everyone begins to think that their opinion is the only opinion that there is, and those are very highly held opinions, that if you touch my opinion, then you're a threat to me, you see. And I've got to fight to defend my opinion. Listen, because my opinion on the grounds of truth and fact cannot support itself. It's fake. That's why I so passionately defend it, because I've got to protect it because it's a straw man. Are you with me? So when somebody says, I don't agree with your view, they can't handle it and they go crazy violent. That's the precursor to anarchy. It's when your feelings trump everything, including the law, including God. We're very close to that age. So when I talked about gender confusion, gender identity, we're talking about the LGBT community. Why is lesbianism and bisexuality and gay or homosexuality or transgenderism on everybody's lips, on everything, and you can't watch a commercial now with somebody, two women kissing or two men holding hands? Why now? Why all of this? Because there's an agenda. It makes it to look normal, makes it to look acceptable, when it is in fact, listen, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, prove me wrong. It is an attempt to, and remember where I'm coming from. I am not coming after any individual, period. Nobody. I'm coming against the demonic darkness that's behind the scene, that's ripping people off. If people are listening to me right now and you're of the LGBTQ community, you need to know that I'm telling you that Satan's real and he hates your guts and he's pimping you and prostituting you because he wants your soul with him. He doesn't care one bit about you. And so, there's a push to normalize these aberrant lifestyles to try to make them normal. Just understand this. The push now has reached an epic level, and the hunger for normalcy is at warp speed, meaning this. We are now being mandated in schools and in our culture to accept an unscientific, unreasonable, illogical, damaging, life-shortening lifestyle that produces no life, but in fact produces death. There's no reproduction. It's only one generation old, you know? It can only live one generation. It cannot reproduce. And you say, no. We adopt. The two daddies adopt. The two mommies adopt. From where? From normal. You have to adopt. You have to borrow from normal to feel normal. But you really don't feel normal. Why? Listen, we love you enough to tell you because Satan hates you. He's real. I understand that 74, I'll read it in a moment, but 74% of those talked to and reached out to have admitted or confessed that they were sexually molested as a child or as a child exposed to extreme pornography, which changed them. I believe that we're looking at a concerted, demonically energized seeding of a generation with suggestive pictures, with suggestive talk, commercials, music, and peer pressure. Children today are going to school and coming home 8 hours later, confused about their gender. Failing math, failing history, failing chemistry, failing everything except sexuality. Our system has failed us. Can you guys put the letter up from New Zealand? Do you have that? Okay. Can you guys look at this? This came because of this series. Hi, Pastor Jack. As I'm standing in my kitchen in New Zealand listening to your podcast on sex education in California schools, I am shocked and alarmed. I have a 7-year-old boy that attends a public primary school, junior school here in New Zealand. And his class has had a talk around safe sexual behavior at the start of his school term at the beginning of this year that included uniformed New Zealand police officers. Ununiformed, excuse me. New Zealand police officers helping deliver this message. I was not present for this, so I did not know the details of these discussions, but knew that it referenced to safe touch and what is not of that nature. The following day, after this talk had taken place, my son and two other boys were involved in an incident with a female classmate that involved chasing her around at lunchtime and touching her private parts. I was called into the school to discuss this with the principal. I was deeply shocked and confused by the situation that my son had been named to have been involved in, as he just wouldn't ordinarily do such a thing. We have a neighbor his age who is a girl, and they play together often, and both myself and her parents have never been alarmed by any sexual behavior. As a Christian family too, my son has never been exposed to pornography in our home, and we are very selective of the things we let our children watch. The point of this is, I believe this sexual talk that they had introduced to the school was way too explicit and actually feeding them with ideas in a way encouraging it. I am certainly going to be looking into what the school system has in place around these discussions going forward. I ask in the meantime, what is a way that my child is protected from these talks without completely pulling them out of school and homeschooling them? That is the answer, by the way. Do we take them out of school during these talks? Absolutely. To then only hear about it from his peers? That's a problem. In fact, if you're a homeschooler today, if your kids are playing with any public school kids, that's a problem now. What are ways as parents we can turn it around to reference biblical truth and be on guard to our children's exposure to these disturbing teachings that are increasingly becoming normal? A writer from New Zealand. This is global. That parents correct. Her child was indoctrinated. Her child was polluted. Her child was confused. In this sense, confused thinking that sex is something that's available to him at 7 years of age. Why the confusion? We've handed a jackhammer over to a 2-year-old. We've handed the keys of a Ferrari to a 13-year-old. It'd kill him. It's very dangerous, the path that we're going down. You want to know how this happens? Indoctrination, peer pressure, lies. Why? Who's the father of lies? So look at this lie. Try not to laugh. Try not to laugh. Dead serious. This is New York Times, ladies and gentlemen. Watch this. The gay penguins of Australia. Two male penguins are raising a baby whose gender is unknown. Okay, first of all, the baby's gender is unknown because the New York Times doesn't want to know the baby's gender. By the way, it's not a baby. It's a penguin. Chick. Okay? Gay penguins. Well, did you know that the next slide, okay, Sydney, Australia, it was a young penguin colony, but all but one of the couples were pretty bad parents. They would get distracted from their nest, go for a swim or play, and so neglected eggs that were getting cold, likely never to hatch. This was normal for inexperienced penguins, and the aquarium managers didn't worry. Next mating season would be better. That article, by the way, went on to say that two male penguins adopted a rock. It was a stone. It was a rock. And they began, you know what they do? They dandle the egg on their feet. And then when one goes and eats, the other one does it. And they declared them because they wanted them to be gay penguins. They said the emperor penguins, they were gay. Now listen, let's for a moment be as stupid as they are. Did they witness the two gay penguins having sex? Oh no. They witnessed the two emperor penguins balancing a rock on their feet, and because that's what male emperor penguins do to eggs. But the New York Times wanted them to be gay, and so did CNN. Okay, so did the Australian Zoo, and so did the Berlin Zoo. A gay penguin couple adopted an egg in a Berlin Zoo. What do you think about that? Boom, CNN, it's got to be true. Thank God for the National Geographic. Male emperor penguins keep the newly laid eggs warm, but they do not sit on them as many other birds do. Males stand to protect their eggs from the elements, balancing them on their feet and covering them with feathered skin known as a brood pouch. These penguins are responding to a DNA program within them to raise up young. It is within the male. I'm talking about the animal world. You don't ever want to get between two male moose and a girl moose. They will kill one another to get to her. Why? Because they're hot? Because they've been looking at moose porn? Do you know why moose will kill to get to the female? Do you know why? Because it is driven within them to reproduce moose. This is basic. It's been true for thousands of years. It's true tonight. But the world out there wants you to believe that there are gay animals. Why would they? Why? Why would they want you to believe that there's gay animals? To make them feel better about their position. There are no gay animals. Animals reproduce to carry on the bloodline or the species. But no, look at down there. The homosexual behavior of male king penguins has already been noted in zoos. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know, every zoologist, National Geographic, the Smithsonian Institute mocks, but CNN and the New York Times wants you to believe. What's up? What's up? Remarkable. This is the Telegraph, I think, from London. Penguins are not gay. They're just lonely. They found out that these two guys, they had no girls in the exhibit. And so the two guys hung out with each other. They walked together. Look, no, seriously, they walked together. They hung out together. Because they followed one another, people declared them to be gay. Because your child goes to school and the teacher says that they might be gay doesn't make your son or your daughter gay. The system is feeding your kid with the thought, just like the media right here was trying to feed you. Oh my goodness, I didn't know there were gay penguins. There are no gay penguins. There's this imbecile reporters. These animals know science perfectly well. They know exactly what they're doing. What's up? What's happening? The confusion needs to stop. Our kids are being lied to and our culture's being lied to. Impressionable kids are being victimized by people who have an agenda. Now listen, I want to say something. Your child, I've told you this before, and I'm just repeating the Bible. If you have children, you are to raise them in the way that they are to go, says the Bible. That means as a parent, you're responsible to look at your baby boy and say to yourself, I'm going to raise him in the way of a male. This is normal. If you have a female, you say to yourself as a parent, I'm going to raise her in the way of a female. My words right now seem like I'm speaking Martian to you because you too have been polluted by the talking points of our culture. Can he even say that? Isn't it interesting that they're doing the exact thing God said to do, but they're doing it for the wrong reasons or in a twisted manner? The system. Satan knows. When I say the system, I'm not picking on any person. It's a demonic system. So tonight, listen, I want to actually encourage you. And I'll do this by throwing myself under the bus, so to speak. In a way, watch this. Personally, I don't struggle with the temptation to gamble. I don't know if you do or not. It doesn't matter. I don't want to know. I have never been tempted to gamble in my life. That allurement has escaped me. It's not my thing. I can honestly tell you, I don't battle with covetousness. I just don't. If you have something nice, I'm so happy for you. I'm glad you have that. I don't go, man, how come she has it? I want one. That's never been a problem of mine. If Johnny had a shinier toy than mine, I thought that was great for Johnny. It's not my thing. I have never been tempted regarding homosexuality. It's just not my thing. It's not my thing. Drugs, alcohol, never been tempted by it. You say, well, aren't you something? I'm not finished. Those are things that I don't battle. There are things I battle. And you're very quiet now to hear what they are. I'm not gonna tell you. But I tell you this, the temptation, Randy, was that you, fish tacos? Yeah. Remember in the Bible, the temptation is not the sin. Everyone's gonna be tempted. In your area of temptation, your flesh and the world and Satan, the Bible says in 1 John, gangs up on you. And this thing or that thing allures you. That's your allurement. Whatever that thing is, what are you supposed to do with it? For example, hypothetically, if you're married right now and you got two kids and you got your life, things are fine, but you get tempted. There's a new secretary at work and boy, she's something. And you look and you go, whoa, man, she's something. What are you supposed to do about that? She says, run. He said, no. He said, fire. You can't do that. That's not her problem. It's your problem. No, listen, run. That's the biblical thing. Run, Forrest, run. But let's say you can't run. Then you know what you do? You do everything you can to avoid interaction with that person without being a mean person. In other words, you don't go over to her and say, hey, did you see the Rams game last weekend? You don't do that. You conduct yourself wisely. Why? Because you recognize she's attractive to your eyes. Are you with me? That's enough for you to say, I am not getting near that. Do you hear me? This is normal living. By the way, if you're married tonight, that's what your spouse expects of you. Before you said, I do, you said, I forsake all others. Temptation's not the sin. If you see the temptation and then act on the temptation and say, woo, man, he's so handsome. He's something. I want to say hi to him. You are almost to the point of ruin because you've opened yourself up. You're supposed to fight it. If you are attracted to the same sex, it's a temptation. Did you hear me? It's a temptation. Don't act on it. Man, I don't know, Pastor Jack. He didn't mention bank robbing. I really want to rob a bank. I just thought it'd be so great to be a bank robber. I want to wear the bandana. I want to shoot him up. I want to, yahoo! Don't act on that. Are you with me? Look, okay, here's a temptation of mine. I'll confess one of them. I have a hard time driving below 100 miles an hour. I believe, why would Detroit make a car with the ability, the speedometer says 160 on it. Why do they put it there if you're not supposed to go fast? See my justification? Never underestimate a man's ability to justify himself. You can't go that fast. It's against the law. But my car can go faster than that. You can't do that. Are you hearing me? Oh man, if you're a guy and you're attracted to guys, you fight the temptation. You're not gay. You are not gay. You're not gay. You are fighting a temptation. It doesn't mean you're gay. Well, you know what? I think maybe if I started drinking, I would love it. I'm an alcoholic. Have you drank? No, but I think you're tempted. You're not an alcoholic. Does that make sense to you? If you're tempted to go to See's Candy, best candy in the world, I think, See's Candy. If you're tempted to go to See's to overeat chocolate, you don't go down that aisle at the mall. This is normal. This is such a critical issue. Some of you liked me before you came in here, and now you hate me. Because, listen, your emotion has been touched. Because somewhere in your life, there's an LGBT person, and you love them. Good, I'm glad you do. You should, and we should. We should love them enough to tell them the truth. Amen. And we should encourage them. Because, listen, I'm going to submit to you tonight that there's a demonic system out there that is anti-human, and it is devoted to destroying human beings who've been created in the image of God. If you really believe in your Bible, then you have to believe in a real devil. And he hates you, and he wants to kill you. And then those of us who are believers who risk our reputation and our safety to say the truth of it, that you might come out of a lie and be set free because you're in a system that really is incapable of true love. This is happening to people around the world. You love on them, but you don't lie to them. You tell them, listen, the Bible makes it very clear that no homosexual, murderer, adulterer, fornicator is going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And then the next verse goes down in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were justified, but you were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb. He sets us free. No one gets a free pass. When the culture says, it's okay, know this, God says, no, it's not. Nobody gets a free pass. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need his forgiveness. We all need to repent before him.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in his message called Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity? Thanks so much for being here today. And you know, this message, Why is Sex and Sexuality So Important to Our Identity?, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Why Series, a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we will discover the answers found in the Bible, our amazing roadmap towards our meaning and purpose for living. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.